Welcome to ReChurch. I'm Marshall Fant, the Director of Church Consulting and Strategic Planning for Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. My purpose is to encourage pastors and church leaders as you refocus, renew, and revitalize your churches. We've established this podcast to offer practical tips and suggestions as you equip disciples to make disciples.
It's Marshall Fant. Welcome back to GFA Missions Podcast ReChurch. So glad to have you join us either by YouTube or on your favorite audio podcast platform. Thanks for joining. Always want to thank GFA and the staff for working all this out and editing and publishing and going through a series of podcasts that we will be dealing with topics that have been suggested for us to cover. And this morning is a very interesting one. The topic is when the pastor is tired, finding strength to continue. So Jerry Jaquo, one of our good friends, pastor at Kingsway Baptist Church in Lake Wylie, South Carolina, is joining us for this. Pastor Jaquo, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
And for the sake of our audience, when this topic came up, I said, I know just the man. So my background with Pastor Jaquo was we met, and he was pastoring a church in South Charlotte, and he sold that church to a Spanish-speaking congregation, moved the church, relocated, meeting in a storefront, take up, set up, take down, working bivocational working jobs, five children, homeschooling, coaching. What else can we add to that list, Jerry?
I'm getting too tired. Let's just stop right there.
So anyway, I have observed the Jaquo family for many years, and everything Jerry did for the sake of preaching and building the church that Christ said he would build to be a part of it. So thank you for your faithfulness. So I just kind of want to walk through some of this. Are you good with that?
Sure, sure.
All right, so again, the topic, when the pastor is tired, finding strength to continue. So I want to open it up with this. So when I just mentioned the word tired, we understand that could be physical, it could be emotional weight, it could be discouragement physically or spiritually, or it could be a combination of all of the above. And we do know also from 1 Kings 19 that Elijah, after he experienced great victory, we all know what happened. He faced great discouragement and went away. He was exhausted, and he went away and wasn't thinking right, so God had to set him aside to get things right. So that's kind of a biblical background of this. So again, the topic, when the pastor is tired, finding strength to continue. So Jerry, let me ask you this. In your experience of pastoring, and you got two sons that are pastors as well, you've got many friends that pastor. So what do you see wearing pastors down the most today? Where do they feel, and how are they carrying that weight?
Yeah, there's no denying the fact that when we are physically tired, we struggle in just almost every other area. You know, the emotional fatigue, the spiritual discouragement sets in. And we feel the weight. We feel the weight of the ministry, the many responsibilities. And those pressures can add to then a lack of sleep, which just compound the problem.
Yeah.
And that brings on a tiredness many times that sleep just can't alleviate. And so you have to know, I believe, your own personal symptoms in order to begin to put a plan in place to relieve those pressures. I know personally, whenever I get tired, it's different for me, it's different for everyone, but I get emotional. And then I have little patience. But when I go to the pulpit like that, when I go to the pulpit tired, again, I find myself emotional, and there's a certain sharpness that I would like to say I would normally have, but I don't have it when I'm tired.
Right.
With my family, I become irritable and short with them when I'm tired. I remember I was cleaning offices couple nights a week. I was doing these directional signs. They're pretty popular in the South. You put them out on Friday, pick them up on Sunday. They point you to these different subdivisions. And I was doing that. That was on top of the church responsibilities. And I would find myself coming and going. And so that tiredness would creep in. And what I would try to do is, I think it's very important. It's very simple. I tried to take a complete day off.
Good. Yeah.
And that day I tried not to do any of those jobs, but simply recharge, right, reconnect with my family. My son reminded me, I called Ben. He said, I remember when you would sit us down during the week, and I had forgotten this, and we would figure out what day would be best for your day off.
Oh, really?
And so I would try and take that day off that coincided with family things, so right, I'd be able to spend time with them. You mentioned I coached their basketball teams, and this gave me an opportunity to connect with them. And also have an influence on their friends who they would play with the gospel.
Right.
And then Melody and I would always try and go to their games. But take that day off. And then another thing we would do that I think is crucial was we would vacation, and we vacationed well.
Okay.
And looking back on that, we would always take a week, usually late winter, early spring, and go down to North Myrtle. And nothing was crowded then.
Right.
You know, we could do what we wanted. There would be some things available. We had family traditions that we would do every year. It's really funny. We would, as a family, go down to the Lazy River, and we would play tag, but we had to wait till the security was gone, you know. and even this past Christmas, my sons are in their 20s now. We were at this place in North Myrtle, and we were down at the Lazy River playing tag, and these smaller kids were all around us. We didn't care. They were wanting to play with us, but we vacationed and we got away, and we enjoyed that week. In fact, in 2 weeks from today, we're leaving to go to Florida, and everyone's descending in Orlando, and we're going to spend a week together at the place where we went and vacationed, this certain place that we love, and we're going to spend a good solid week together and just recharge. You need that time. It's desperately needed. But take time off, get a vacation, get a couple weeks in, and set aside that time and recharge with that time. Don't feel guilty about time off. You need it. You desperately need it.
All right. We'll come back to that. So let's talk about this pressure. All right, let's talk about external pressure that wears you down. How do you personally handle when someone in congregation says, "Hey, Pastor, have you seen John Piper's latest YouTube video, or MacArthur, or name the big preacher on YouTube?" So all of us feel that comparative weight, right? I mean, we do in some way or another, but. How would you recommend? All right, so you got two sons in ministry, a third one training. How would you tell your sons when someone in their church comes up and says, "Hey, Pastor Ben, have you seen this?" And you feel immediately the comparison, and that is a weight that can wear you down. Yeah. How do you personally handle that, or what would you tell your sons about that?
Yeah. Well, you have to remind yourself that what is God's standard? All right. Yep. God's standard is not, "Well, Pastor, have you seen that children's ministry down the street? Yeah. They're doing this." Or, our previous pastor didn't do it this way. He did another way. And the one that gets me is, "Pastor, why aren't we growing?"
Yeah.
"Why aren't we growing?"
So these pressures, right? These pressures.
Yeah, and those are real, and many times they hurt. They hurt.
And they wear you down.
You have to remember what God's standard is. God's standard is not how big our children's ministry is in comparison to the other one down the street. God's standard for us is faithfulness.
Amen.
And many times those pressures come in, they weigh us down, mm-hmm. and we see this ministry on YouTube, or we watch this, and we have to remind ourselves, what does God expect from me? Success with God is not results.
Amen.
The pressures of results will weigh us down, and we compare ourselves to others. And obviously, 2 Corinthians 10:12 says that's just not wise.
Right.
It's just not wise. So, right.
And these pressures add to the tiredness. They add to the wearing out. Okay.
All absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
And so, again, we need to be faithful and then lead the results to God.
Amen.
Many times we're sowing seed and sowing seed. We don't get to see the harvest. In fact, it comes around rather rare in many ministries. So we have to be faithful to continue to sow that seed. And, you know, people do have good ideas regarding this ministry or that. And we need to look at those honestly. But in the end, remind ourselves that it's God that grants the harvest, and success with God is our faithfulness. And let me just add this: faithfulness in the mundane,
yes,
in just the ordinary, in just the boring,
even when you're tired.
Oh yeah, that's and I'm convinced that if we are faithful in and we're tired and we do just the next thing.
Yeah.
God will bless, eventually bless. We might not see it the next day or the next week or the next month, but he will eventually bless our faithfulness.
Amen. Yeah, and let me pause right here for a minute. It's an older book, and I've said it before on the podcast, but one of the best books on what Pastor Jaquo was talking about on faithfulness is a book by Kent and Barbara Hughes, and it's called Liberating Ministry from the Success Syndrome. It's an older book. It's been republished or reprinted or whatever. But it is one of the best, especially if you're a young man as they start ministry. It goes into details exactly what Pastor Jaquo has said. So I want to just pick up on that. All right, so Jerry, address this. So you got external pressures that wear you down, and then you got internal pressure. So we all know this. As pastors, we need more. We should be more time to pray, more time to study, more time to visit, more time to you fill in the blank. So let me ask you this: when you face the pressure, not enough time with family, not enough time for evangelism, or whatever, how do you schedule your life in such a way that those things, those internal pressures we put on ourselves, and you may have already addressed it when you talked a few minutes ago, that those don't wear us down? So you got external and now you got internal. I put pressure on myself.
Yeah. Those are real as well. And those need to be, those internal pressures need to be realistic.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes we put pressures on ourselves to put this amount of time into a sermon, this amount of time into prayer, this amount of time into evangelism. And when we don't meet those personal time sets, then we feel like a failure. You know as well as I, there are some sermons that take a long, long time to get your head around and then be able to present it in such a way that your people will come away knowing what that passage says.
Yep.
But then there are other times when that sermon comes easy. All of a sudden you're done and it's only been an hour, you know. And I don't think we ought to feel guilty about that. And there are certain times when you got this funeral, when you got to do this thing over here, and you know, it crowds out this or that. Well, those pressures need to be realistic, and many times they're not. So we do the work that God has called us to do, and it's a unique calling for each one of us. So we need to do that job and do the job that's ahead of us for today, and not throw off those internal pressures that we put on ourselves.
Good. All right. So let me follow that up with this. So when I'm doing this, and I think our wives always can tell when we are tired and irritable or whatever you want to say. My wife has a saying that she goes like this: Mars is not an opening on the Trinity. God the Father's doing just fine. God the Son's doing just fine. God the Holy Spirit's doing just fine. So don't try to be God. Right. So, you know, sometimes we try to do too much. So do you have, and it may not, you may not, I don't know. Do you have some kind of grid that you work through when you have to eliminate something? Okay, when you realize I can't do it all. Is this, I mean, do you just look at the day and say, okay, I'm just going to do this today? Or, I mean, again, talk to our younger pastors. Is it, do you take it hour by hour, day by day, week by week, or just as it comes? I mean, because there's so many unexpected opportunities in the ministry. Just comment on that. You don't have to go long on it, but just.
You know, I'm a list maker, and I like to check things off my list.
Amen. I am too.
I try doing the apps on my phone. They're not as fun for me. I like getting a thick card, writing out things in priority I need to get accomplished. And my wife laughs at me. I get the biggest, fattest Sharpie marker I can find, and I cross something out. And if I've already done it, I will put it on the list just so I can cross it out.
Same here. You know,
So I can look back on my day and think, well, at least I got these things done.
Yeah.
But you have to prioritize the ministry. You just have to. And for me, I'm getting to the point where I can't remember everything that I have to get done. So I've got to mark it. I've got to put it down, and I'll put reminders on my phone, and I've got a reminder for this afternoon and for next week and all through. But I like making lists, and I like marking off, because it gets my head around some things and also prioritizes, and then it shows me, hey, I did accomplish some things today, and that's of great benefit to me.
All right. Comment on this, and thanks for that. I didn't mean but thank you. All right, so there are, you address part of it, but we also understand when we don't address fatigue in our life, being tired, okay, when we don't do that, it does affect, you mentioned your preaching, you already said that, you get more emotional, it affects your leadership. But, you know, in Hebrews it tells us this, that if we, because I think part of bitterness, the result of it is, I mean, fatigue, part of it can be bitterness. And so it talks about in Hebrews 12:15 that we don't fall short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. And this is an interesting phrase, that by it many will be defiled. So we got to understand as pastors that if we try to keep going and we're not dealing with our fatigue and being tired, we're not dealing with the right way, it's not going to be just you. It's going to affect others. You got any other, I mean, family, right? Preaching, you got any comment on that?
Well, I think many times when we are fatigued, we go to the pulpit. One of the things we start to do is we start preaching at people rather than to try and edify people.
Great point. Great point. Yeah.
And I think that's due many times to fatigue, because we have this, whenever we get tired, let's face it, we go into this little pity party syndrome.
Yeah.
And everything's against me. We take that to the pulpit, and we're not trying to build up. We're trying to hammer.
That's well said.
That's the danger in my preaching. So I start to guard Saturday night. Mm. so that I can get to bed at a great hour, get plenty of sleep, still time to wake up, get ready spiritually, physically, and be ready to go into the pulpit with the sharpness that I'd like to have and edify people rather than pound them.
Good point. All right, let's talk about this. Another off the cuff here. So Galatians 6:9, it tells us, you know, we're not to lose heart in doing good, right? We're not to do that. So how do we understand that command without guilt? When we know when you know you got to go to bed early on Saturday night, okay? And so how do you balance that, Pastor Jaco?
Yeah. To lose heart, it just means, you know, becoming exhausted. And Paul is admonishing us that when we are exhausted, we should not give in or give up. It's the opposite there of being steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So if the pastor is doing the work that God has called him to do, guess what? You will be weary.
Well,
but
said.
Listen, I take that here as a badge of honor.
Okay.
It's letting me know, yes, I am tired, and I've got to protect Saturday night so I can get the sleep I need. But if we're doing ministry, Paul tells us we're going to be exhausted. So I take that as I am doing the work. Now, the guilt should come when you're lazy. I don't think the guilt should come when you're tired. Guilt should come when you're lazy. If you're lazy, then this is not the right profession for you.
Good point. Yeah.
But if you're tired, then you know that your labor is not in vain. The harvest is coming. Yeah. We sow, as I said, we sow a lot. We're casting the seed a lot, but many times you're not able to see that harvest. But don't lose heart. Keep on tilling that ground, breaking up that hard soil, and keep on sowing the seed. Just keep on being faithful. So as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He knows our frame. So we will get tired, but take that you are doing the ministry.
All right, so let's follow up with this, because, I mean, there's so many ways we can go with this topic. So, you know, one of my favorite chapters of the Bible is Matthew 11. You know, it starts off with John the Baptist, and he couldn't figure out what was going on. And his disciples asked Christ, but it ends up with this in Matthew 11, and we know this. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you
rest
and learn of me. Okay, so I quote that verse to so many people, right? So my question for you, Pastor Cole, would be this. How do you advise a pastor to apply that to his life? You mentioned vacation. You mentioned, and maybe you've already covered it. You mentioned, vacations every year. You mentioned your Sabbath principle, whatever day that may be. Would you say that is the most, that Sabbath principle, that day off, would best handle that? What do you think?
Yeah. I wouldn't darken the door on my day off. I like that recharge. I like putting down my phone for hours at a time. You can't step away from it. But also, I think learn of me. We read our Bibles. We have our devotions. We have our quiet time. And many times, I don't know about you, but my mind tends to think, now, how would I preach that? This is how I would preach that to my people, you know?
Yeah.
But then it's convicting. Now, what about you? That you're having your own personal devotions here. We need to maybe take a spoonful of our own medicine and look at these passages we're coming across in our devotions and apply that to our lives.
Amen.
And preach that to ourselves, to learn of the Lord in that time of devotions and preach that gospel to ourselves. We need that. You know, we do a lot of studying, and a lot of preparing to right. help and edify. But we need to learn of me, learn of of our Lord, and make these times that we're in the Word applicable to ourselves as well.
Yeah, I think and you said it well. So we always recommend the first part, rest, but we don't take the second part. While you're resting, you've got to learn of me and you know, preach to ourselves. All right, so, Jerry, as we go down this, help me think about this with me. All right, so how can a pastor discern the difference between normal tiredness, because of the work of the ministry that you did a great job of addressing, versus dangerous burnout? Okay, so there is, you know, one can quickly go into the other. So, how would you discern that in your life?
Yeah, this is a crucial question, because I believe we all have been tired in ministry, and we go in and out of different phases of that. But burnout, I believe, occurs with a kind of exhaustion that goes deeper than just being tired. I think we would all agree to that. It's what happens when the emotional, the spiritual, relational demands of caring for people never really turn off. Mm. And you're expected to keep showing up with that calm, faithful, available pastor spirit, while inwardly you are just overloaded, you feel crushed.
Yeah.
And there's a certain amount of spiritual dryness, I believe, that comes with that.
Yeah.
And we as pastors can usually spot that, a spiritual dryness in many people in our congregation, but we have a hard time coming to that realization when it's found in ourselves. And whenever you come to that place in ministry, then I believe that's a warning light on the dashboard.
You
need to pull over, and you need to check that, that light. And many times you need to find help. I think sabbaticals are a wonderful thing that you could suggest, maybe 60 to 90 days, perhaps more, using that time really to triage your soul. Mm-hmm. There are helpful ways to combat this, but you need to look for those warning lights. And you need to pull over and really take an inward look and find the spiritual resources, find external help, whatever needs to occur. But there are real dangers here.
Yeah, I love Psalm 42:5. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. And that's what we've got to be able to do. That's good. Okay. Well, thanks for that. All right. So let's keep going. So, you know, we've talked about this, but bring this up again. One of the things I want to talk about were, and you covered it, but I just want to see if you got anything to add to it. So we know that there are certain rhythms and in ministry, certain practices. Sunday's always coming. You mentioned, so let's talk long haul, okay? Not short term, long haul. How long have you been in the ministry? How long have you been at Kingsway?
Kingsway is 25 years.
And before that, you served in Oklahoma, right?
Yeah, 13 years.
Okay, so long haul. Okay,
yeah.
So again, not the sprint, but the marathon of ministry. However many days God gives us. So, what other in our normal weekly rhythm and practices you mentioned the Sabbath principle, you mentioned helping your family plan that, you mentioned, you know, the couple of times a year vacation, but was there a daily rhythm you had? Was there anything else you would recommend for the long haul?
Well, I'm going to get everyone mad at me. So
Go ahead.
I have later now in the past few years figured out how much physical exercise and diet play an important role. I was on a roller coaster of gaining weight, losing weight, getting to the Y, stopping, quitting, gaining back the weight, and being uncomfortable, not being able to keep up with my sons, my daughter. So I'd go to the gym, go on a diet, lose the weight, stop the gym, roller coaster. Sure. And I think something that has helped me physically, has helped me with fatigue, is just getting on a normal rhythm of diet and exercise.
Okay.
And I'm at the gym 5 days a week. I'm there for an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes. And I know people are saying, well, I just can't do that. You're going to write this off. But my schedule right now allows me to.
Yeah. And for Jerry, that's what you got to do.
I get up early and I go to the gym. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I have a certain diet and fasting I do. Okay. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm really at liberty to eat what I want. And it has kept me in a certain weight window.
Yeah.
And it has given me more energy and better sleep than what I have experienced in years. Amen. So I'm just saying that has worked for me. And I know people are saying, well, I can't do that. Well, go on a walk with your wife.
Yeah.
Take your kids on a walk, get the stroller out. And I know it's cold right now, but, I go to the cheapest gym around and I listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
Good. I listen to sermons.
Yeah.
And it's been a refreshing time. And I've met some men and I've had opportunities to share the gospel. But my son goes to the gym, he listens to books. They go and play basketball. I used to swim. I realize that perhaps your schedule isn't going to permit you to do this or do that, but
you got to do something.
Diet and exercise will greatly improve your stamina, your sleeping habits, and that fatigue.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Now, as we kind of land this podcast, let me ask you this. These questions go hand in hand. So number one, when you are tired and you are worn out and you know this, how important are peer relationships, mentor relationships, pastor-to-pastor relationships in order to stay steadfast? And then with that, how do you cultivate in your church a culture of being able to admit your weariness without fear? Oh, yeah, he's just lazy. So that's a two-point question. So, right. So tell me about your, run with it. You heard.
Yeah. The peer relationship is incredibly important. And Marsh, you have been a wonderful friend to me. And I appreciate you. And you poured into me. And I so much appreciate that. But those relationships are crucial. Proverbs 27:17 is iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And so obviously it's very crucial. Every pastor needs to have men he trusts. Yeah.
There you go.
Men he can go to, ask for prayer, ask for accountability. And if the pastor is struggling in this area, then he should make it known to the right people.
All right. Say that again, because that's the key. Make it known. Go ahead.
Yeah. If a pastor is struggling, he needs to make it known to the right people. Perhaps an associate pastor or trusted deacon or a trusted friend.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's still some who think the pastor or Superman who should be some super preacher, but we all know better. Yes. We need to tell someone. We need to try and get the prayer help needed for the crisis. Tell someone, tell some other man who's in your corner, who loves your ministry, hey, I need help here. And there are faithful people in the church who can help as well. You know, many times we're struggling because our wives are pregnant and we don't even know if how much insurance is going to cover. You know, everyone's got the gold plan and we've got, you know, the aluminum foil type plan for insurance. And we don't know how far under we're going to go. We don't, you know, we got a car that's over 200,000 miles and it's making this noise, and all those pressures obviously add up. And we've got those pressures on top of, you know, sermon prep, prayer, evangelism, pulpit ministry. So another thing with men in the church that are in your corner that love your ministry, get them on your side, get them behind you and praying for you. I would recommend a good conference every year. Okay. Go somewhere where you're around other faithful men who are experiencing the same thing as you are, and they're going through it as well. And just to be around them for a week will recharge, re-energize, and say, hey, I'm not in this alone.
Amen.
I had a man, faithful man in our church years ago who was over our finances, who was in my corner, and that helped. My dad and mom came here and helped once they retired from Northland. My dad was of great benefit. He was helpful. He was sensitive to my struggles. Find those people. You know, Ecclesiastes says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. If one falls, the other will lift him up. So you've got to find those. If you don't have them, pray for God to send you those. Exactly. They are of incredible value to you.
Amen. All right, last question. Again, thanks for setting aside your time here. All right, so 1 Peter 5:4 says, when the chief shepherd appears, you shall receive the unfading crown of glory as the shepherd, right? Under shepherd, the great shepherd to the chief shepherd to the under shepherd. So let me ask you this, Pastor Duquoe. What would you say to a faithful man that's listening right now who is exhausted, and he's even wondering, Jerry, how can he even continue? So, because there are those that hopefully will find this podcast, and this is where they are. So you've covered, and it may just be restating something you said earlier, but this particular man, he doesn't know how he's going to make it. He's exhausted. And maybe, again, you described a lot of young men, the wife's expecting, the financial pressures, the internal pressures of preaching and praying and evangelism. So how would you tell him that when he doesn't know if he can continue or not?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go back to a personal experience and then a biblical one as well. I can't recall exactly when in the ministry, but I know exactly where I was. It was a Sunday night. I was out pulling up these signs on the backside of Gastonia.
After you'd preached Sunday morning, right? After you'd preached, after you had prepared, you set the signs out on Friday. You labor, you do spiritual work all day Sunday. Now it's Sunday night. All right, I just want to make sure we set that table. And it's at night and it's dark. Right.
And it's pouring down rain.
Oh, man. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
So it's 4 or 5 in the morning.
Oh,
backside of Gastonia. I pulled my van over and I was so discouraged. I just wept. I wept. I was soaking wet. I was in the middle of a church plant. And I just pulled over and wept. I think of David in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 30, David has a band of 400 men, and he's on his way back to Ziklag, probably very tired, fatigued. Yeah. He comes to the city. Everyone's gone, and the city's been burned. And so, of course, we know that everyone begins to weep, to cry.
Yeah.
They are just so overwhelmed emotionally, seeing everyone gone, all their loved ones taken captive, seeing the city that they lived in burned to the ground. And the Bible says that these 400 men, many of whom were worthless men, were talking about stoning David, killing him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we come to that very interesting phrase where David encouraged himself in the Lord.
Mm.
David strengthened himself in the Lord. Now, I've got a theory on that. You can agree with or disagree with, but that's an incredible statement. I believe that David, in that moment, recalled the promises of God to him. I believe that the main promise that probably he recalled was being a teenager on the backside of the desert and being called to go home because yeah. Samuel was there. And he arrives back and he sees this, all of his brothers there. He sees his father, Jesse, and then there is Samuel with that flask of oil. And God speaks to David and says, "This is the one." Mm. And Samuel takes that flask of oil, pours it over his head and says, "You will be the next king of Israel."
Yeah.
And so in that moment at Ziklag, when David strengthened himself in the Lord, I believe he just went back to the promises of God.
Amen.
That God has been faithful to him.
Yeah.
He called for the ephod. He inquired of the Lord, "Should I go after him?" God said, "Go after him, for you will recover all."
Mm.
And he stood up, gathered his men, and said, "Let's go."
Amen.
Now, his was a dramatic moving forward. That Sunday night, I was weeping there in the van. Mine was rather mundane. I just had to put it in drive and go pick up the next sign.
Yeah.
But that's what we all have to do.
Oh, amen.
We just need to be faithful to the next thing, even though it's boring, mundane, and nobody's watching. We just need to put it in drive and go do the next thing.
So well said.
And that's what I would encourage. You know, we've all been there. Our Lord was there in the garden, tired, anxious, dreading the next day. But the next day was the greatest of all days.
Mm. Well, that's so well said. And again, I appreciate your time. And if you, again, Pastor Jared Jaquo, Kingsway Baptist Church, Lake Wylie, South Carolina, he and his wife have been so faithful there for so many years and still are. And just appreciate his ministry. You can go to their website and look up further sermons and be blessed by his ministry. But I just want to thank you for this. Again, when the topic was submitted to me, there was no question in my mind who could best encourage pastors, especially the younger ones, especially those with, you know, you mentioned bivocational, working you had three jobs at one time. I mean, pastoring, cleaning offices, and setting up these signs. So, I mean, it's just like, okay, but the Lord sustained you, and your testimony is a great encouragement to others. So, any final comments, Pastor Jaquo?
Yeah, all glory to God.
Amen.
If we want to accomplish anything, all glory to God.
Amen.
And again, I appreciate your friendship, Marsh, a great deal. Thank you so much.
Just wanted to again, thank you. Thank GFA for posting this, for editing it. So again, if you, any way we can help you here at GFA, my email address is mfant@gfamissions.org. We're here to help you. Pastor Jaquo, you can look him up on the web and get in touch with him if you'd like to. But again, thank you, Pastor Jaquo, for your time. God bless.
Sure.
You're listening to ReChurch, a podcast of Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. If you would like more information about our ministry or how we may assist you and your church, visit us at gfamissions.org/consulting.